more.
I'm Sandra, a single mom to one little girl. My husband left us just after Jessica was born. I haven't received any child support since he left, and we are barely getting by. If it weren't for my mom and dad's help, I don't think we would be able to make it.
And that's one of the things that we cover here. All this month, our theme is stability. So many of us are struggling to get by. We want to provide a sense of stability for our homes, but often we don't see how we can make everything stretch. So I'm looking forward to this conversation today, Kim, because today we are talking about how to have enough when we don't have enough.
I hate having to ask for help, and I worry about the future. How am I going to be able to provide what I need for our little family? She deserves a stable home, but honestly, I don't know that I can provide that without help.
Hey, I'm Robert Beeson. I'm the founder of Solo Parent Society. Because of firsthand experience, I want to say to you single parents right now, there's hope. You are not alone.
So true. And I'm Kimberly Mitchell, and we are just so glad that you have joined us. This society was created by solo parents as a place, and now this podcast for you to begin to heal, connect with others, and start to believe, like Robert just said, that there is hope. And that's what we do. Sometimes we tackle tough stuff and fun stuff and all the stuff, but we always end up in a place of hope.
That's right. We both know, after being single parents for over 8 years, and coming out the other side transformed, I can tell you beyond the shadow of a doubt that your life can be fuller, relationships can be richer, and you can overcome all that you've lost. Welcome to the Solo Parent Society podcast. Kim, I'm so glad we get to do this.
Me too.
Like all the things we talk about, this is so important to talk about because so many of us feel like we don't have enough. So this month, we're really excited that we get to have Marissa join us to walk through this. Kim, I know that you have talked about barely making it.
Yeah.
The fear of that is real when you don't know how you're going to be able to provide or stretch yourself.
That was,
You talk about it
all the time because it was really true. Like when everything ended in my marriage and I'm like, I don't know what to do. Like I didn't make enough money, the job I was at and everything had changed. I was trying to find a place. You know what? Just so many things, but I just had to go, God, like you're going to have to provide for me because I don't have enough. I didn't feel like I had enough, but as we're going to discuss today, it's totally the way we look at things too. But you know what?
Completely understand
that. Honestly, Robert, I mean, I have prayed in milk, I've prayed in food, and I've prayed for rent, money when there were extra things to come, you know, like, but God always was faithful.
He was faithful. But it's uncomfortable being in a position where you feel like you don't have enough, whether it be physical or emotional.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a guy raising girls.
Yes.
You know, it's difficult.
Yeah.
Let's face it, the life of a solo parent can be summed up by this one feeling often, that we don't have enough.
Yeah.
We don't have enough time, we don't have enough money, we don't have enough me. There never seems to be enough. And so today we're going to discuss that, how to have enough when we don't have enough. But first, listen, if you are listening to this and you're driving or you're flossing your pet's teeth.
I wait for this every week.
And I feel like the well is drying up because I was like, going, okay, what am I going to say there? But seriously, if you are flossing your pet's teeth and you don't want to stop and you hear something that's remarkable, you don't have to write it down right now. It'll all be in the show notes, so check that out. Like we've mentioned before, Kim and I were single parents for over 8 years, raising our kids on our own. And we often felt like we weren't enough.
Yes.
That being said, we like to keep it real here. So we're fortunate to have our very own regular contributor, Marissa Lee, with us, who is smack dab in the middle of her solo parent path as we speak. Welcome, Marissa.
Yay! Thank you for having me again.
Let's get right into this. Can you resonate with the feeling of not being or having enough?
I think a better question is, have you ever felt like you had enough?
Right.
Because I don't think I've ever felt like I was enough or had enough. And I don't feel like I'm even leaving that legacy with my kids, that they feel like they are enough or they have enough. And I really struggle with that. It's funny. My son was texting me from school. He was working in Spanish. And he said, I was trying to say that I needed to take out the garbage for my family. But when he translated through Google Translate what he wrote, Google Translate said he wrote, I collect garbage for my family because they need it. And so here I am texting. I'm like, okay, so that's funny. And he's like, yeah, but it was kind of embarrassing because I didn't want, yeah, I didn't want my teacher to think that I'm the son of a widow. And so we're just like living off of being sustained by garbage. Yes.
Yeah.
Right. And there is a true peace to that. But then there is also this, like, I wasn't enough in my marriage. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever got me here, I'm so broken. And how could I ever possibly be enough? If I was not good enough in my marriage, mm-hmm. now on my own raising kids, how could I possibly measure up? Like, I'm just walking away from that measuring stick because there's such a giant gap. Yeah. I can't do it.
As we were getting ready to start recording today, I was thinking, we pray before, and I was thinking how appropriate it is to have this topic, because so often walking in here, I feel like I don't have enough. Like we second guess ourselves so much, mm-hmm. whether it's you weren't enough to keep your marriage together, mm-hmm. we don't have enough to pay the bills. Mm-hmm. It is, you're right. It is a very common thing for us to feel. Kim, you talk about how you felt that a lot. What steps did you take to, I don't know if we ever feel like we're enough, but how do you deal with that?
That's a good question.
How do we find enough when there's not enough? How did you do that?
Well, I just, like, every day still feel like I am not enough. The same. I don't know. Do we ever grow up?
So then how do we get stability?
That was just a whole lot of prayer and relying on Jesus. Like it truly was. I don't even know how else to say it, except that I just had to. Those were my moments. Like, I've watched my mom and dad pray and really trust Jesus their whole lives. And I know I lived in that kind of home, but then it was my turn. Mm-hmm. Like, do I trust him or don't I? Like, this is where faith has to step in and go, God, I don't know how this is going to happen or work out, but I have to trust you. And a lot of times, like, I would actually also give him the plan, but he often didn't do it my way.
Right.
And it was often way better. And I'm like, oh, so don't you knew think, all along.
Don't you think that raising kids, we're very self-conscious that we're not providing what we wish we could for them.
Mm-hmm.
Now having adult daughters, one of my daughters said to me the other day, she's like, Dad, I'm so glad that you didn't buy us everything we wanted. Because she sees a lot of her friends that have been handed stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't afford it. We couldn't do that. There was a time in my life where I did make enough money and it seemed like, you know, milk and honey kind of land. But then the divorce happened and everything went upside down. And we didn't have what everybody else had, but it was enough. And relative to other people in this world,
it's more rich than enough. Absolutely. Right? You know what? We look back, it's so funny because we look back, my kids, some of their greatest memories are in the crappiest little apartment we have lived in, where I feel like I was failing constantly. But some of their best memories are that, listen, we bought all of our clothes at the secondhand store and nobody knew differently.
Mm-hmm.
My kids wanted iPads and I made them save their money because I could not do that. So for an entire, over a year, they saved their money and they bought it. And Kai still has his.
Right.
And this was like 10, 11 years ago. like there's just, we do have more than we think. There's always someone worse off than us. And I always wanted to be aware of that. And I didn't see that all the time because I was so in my own pity party in the middle of it. But I will,
and it's true that there is
true.
It's a struggle.
It is a struggle.
One of the things that's kind of happened in the dynamics in my household, my husband was the primary breadwinner. Mm-hmm. I kind of tagged along. And one time my son, he did not mean anything bad by this. So if he ever listens to this, I love you.
Yeah.
but he said, you know, sometimes I wonder what it would be like if you had died instead of dad.
Mm.
And I kind of prompted more and he said, well, you know, because dad made all the money.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was that realization that he had to go from, I could have plenty to I gotta like scrape. And my son has a job.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff that he wants, he is putting that on the table. I don't make him buy his food or stuff like that.
Right. You want toilet paper? Go to work.
But I am asking him, you know, if there's stuff that you want, those fancy shoes or whatever, I can't do it.
Yeah.
And now that he's 15, he is doing a little bit for himself. But I will tell you too, that one of the things that's blessed us is I've started to look outward instead of inward.
Yeah.
And started to say, we need to find something to give. You always have something. Unless you are dead, you have something to give. And I grew up with my parents being able to give financially. And and I try to do that where I can, but I'm not even talking about that. Mm-hmm. It can be your attention. Mm-hmm. If I walk up to somebody and I give them 5 minutes, what I have done is told them that you are worthy.
That's right.
You matter enough for not just a, hi, how are you? I'm quickly gone. You mattered for a, how really are you?
Uh-huh.
Giving time, giving prayers, walking by. You don't even have to tell these people you're praying for them. We talked about that a while ago, about praying for people as you walk by them. But I recently, I told my kids, I said, it's not required by your schools, but you're going to volunteer. Mm-hmm. And you have to pick a place. So there is a nursing home down the street from us. And we went in not knowing what to expect. And I can tell you, if you want to talk about awkward moments as a teenage boy, that was it. My kids are sitting on these couches as far away from the residence as they possibly could be. And I'm like, this isn't going to go away just because you make it uncomfortable. So I started trying to lead and started to talk to these people. Very quickly realized most of them had some kind of dementia or disorientation. So we're not capable of having a conversation. After an hour, we left and I was like, oh, dear God, please help us with this because I want my kids to go. Well, Colton later said to me, he said, it was actually a very interesting experience to see how much we actually have just when we have our mental capacity about us. Mm-hmm. And to me, that blessed me. Like I have spent the last week since we did it thinking about those people. And then I can tell you, I've gone out of my way to love like three other people, a random truck driver who was stuck, who needed my help blocking traffic because I was running by him or whatever. And my mood, just my attitude towards life, it's all of a sudden like, I have so much to give to other people. If I will just pay attention to them, if I will just pick up the phone and say, I heard your daughter was hospitalized. This is really hard time for you. You know, I did that this past week to a woman I didn't really know, my son's friend who's in the hospital. And she said, oh, my daughter's doing okay. And I said, but I'm not calling for her. I'm calling for you. Mm-hmm. And the woman was like, wait, you're what? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like, because this is, she's getting support. Mm-hmm. Where's your support? So I think when we stop and we find something, whatever it is that we can actually give, we suddenly start realizing we have way more than we ever knew we
had. Along with that, what that does, a lot of times we try to fix things internally by focusing internally. But when you focus externally, it does bring a sense of stability because you start understanding that what I say to myself about not having enough, we always have surplus of something that we can pour out.
There's this quote, and I can't even think of how to say it correctly, but it's something along the lines of, the fragrance from the person giving the flower is greater than the fragrance in the receiver, right? Mm-hmm. Something like that. Like, so to give, listen, I didn't do a whole lot of things right with my kids, but serving and giving was top of the list because they needed to see too, like, there's a whole big world. We still have purpose. We're still here. We're still this team, this family, and we're going to give. We gave a lot of our time and we would go to the grocery store every few months and give to the, you know, food banks and stuff because we had to go there at the beginning.
Right.
And there's something about that, though, that just, it changes us. There's something about the giving. I've been on the receiving end of incredibly kind people.
Yeah. But generosity and giving is, it does good for your soul.
Changes us. Yes, absolutely.
I think a lot of times when we talk about not having enough, we think about money. That's a common, that is a struggle.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to recognize even the lack. Mm-hmm. Pay attention to that, even bring our kids into that so they understand in a money case the value of money.
Yeah.
Then it doesn't grow on trees.
Yes.
And sometimes we don't have enough. But I can tell you, I remember situations where I would walk through something with my girls and like going, well, Lord willing, we'll be able to do that. And as of right now, we don't have enough money to do that. But let's pray.
Yes.
And let's see if it's in God's plan.
Yeah.
And time after time after time, mm-hmm. I didn't know where the money was coming from. Mm-hmm. There are stories that I could talk about for this entire episode where when I prayed with the girls and I brought them into, I didn't necessarily bring them into like, oh my gosh, the sky is falling and we're going to, you know, we're going to go under or whatever. But there are needs that I don't know exactly how we're going to meet. Yeah. And so let's bring that to our Father. Mm-hmm. And time after time, not only did God provide what we needed, but he actually shaped the worldview of my daughters and put finances in the right perspective, that it is not our money. Even if we think it's in our bank account, it's money that he's given us.
Exactly. Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah. Well, and I also love what you were saying about the voice and the voices and the stories that we tell ourselves. So in 2 Kings 18, there is a king who's being attacked, a king of Judah. He's being attacked by Assyria. And the attacker comes and he says, "On what are you basing this confidence of yours? You say you have the counsel and the might for war, but you speak only empty words. On whom are you depending that you rebel against me?" And he goes on to say, "But if you say to me, 'We are depending on the Lord our God,' isn't he the one whose high places and altars Hezekiah removed, saying to Judah and Jerusalem, 'You must worship before this altar in Jerusalem'?" So he's kind of twisting words there, but he's saying, your God can't do anything. Any of the other gods can't. Hmm. But ultimately, if you go back down to verse 36, it says, "But the people remained silent and said nothing in reply because the king had commanded, 'Do not answer him.'" Mm. And I think about that with those little dirty voices that come into my head that say, "You're not enough. You seriously think you can raise these kids on your own? No, you can't do that. Just start, you know, start finding anything to plug into that space." And I think, no, my only response here is not even to give them merit, not even to say, "Shut up, go away." It's to just pretend that they're not, like, walk away from them.
Yeah.
Because the moment we start entertaining that voice, I will tell you, it turns from a whisper to a scream faster than anything I've ever seen in my life. So I think we really just have to be careful of, how do we define enough? What are we telling ourselves is enough? Mm-hmm. Who are we relying on? And it is perfectly okay to walk around all day saying, "My God is enough."
That's right. Absolutely.
And those aren't trite words. I mean, we throw that around sometimes in the church of, like, you know, God is enough. He's just, he'll meet all of our needs. And he does. Mm-hmm. But there's something about the solo season that it sets into us. Mm-hmm. The awareness that we have, God, you better show up.
That's right.
Because I don't have capacity to do this. And there are, you're right, Marissa, there are times where God has equipped us to walk through whatever it is that we need to walk through with his help. Mm-hmm. And then there are those times where he's just calling you to trust him and to actually acknowledge that I don't have enough. And I think that's one thing I want to communicate to single parents, especially. You need to know that it's okay and it's normal to go, "There's not enough money in my bank account. There's not enough of me to pour out. I'm exhausted. I'm totally depleted and I don't have what it takes to give my kids." There is nothing wrong with acknowledging that, but what you're saying is so important. We can't entertain the lies that pile on to that.
Right.
Okay, see, I told you, you were never, you couldn't keep your marriage together. You couldn't keep, I mean, because it just, you just can't answer that. You have to just be steadfast and believe that what God has started, he will finish, and that our kids are his primary concern above how we see them.
Yeah. Or when we do answer, because I said, you know, keep your mouth shut, but if you do answer, respond with, "But God is enough." It doesn't matter. Whatever I'm not good enough for or don't have enough of, that's true. I don't care. Just that's irrelevant. That's a fact of the past. But God is enough. And I was thinking just kind of about how to explain how God enriches us and how sometimes it is that empty, vacuumous space that is the most amazing place for God to show up, right? Mm-hmm. Because when we have nothing, and I thought about it this way. So If I have a jug and it's full of water because I'm going to a banquet and I take maybe a quarter cup out of that jug, but it stays mostly full because, you know, I keep trying to replenish what's in that jug and trying to have enough in it so that when I go to this party, I'm equipped. And then I take that jug and I go and sit beside the throne of my father. And he says, let me fill it with the finest wine.
Mm.
What happens? He pours wine into it, but very quickly, there's only room for a quarter cup of water that I splashed out on the way. So mostly what I get is water with a little bit of wine that nobody wants to drink because it's neither fine wine nor pure water. However, if on the other hand, my sister, she takes a jug of water and on the way to the banquet, she's used it all up and she comes with an empty jug and she says, I'm just so sorry, God. God says, but I can fill that whole thing up and it becomes full of fine wine and there's nothing diluting it. And it is all God.
Yes.
And we've got to get to that point in our lives where instead of we keep trying to put enough in it because we don't want to come empty handed, that we just say, God, I don't have anything to offer. Mm. And it's at that point that God says, yes, I finally have you where I can make something beautiful out of this.
Completely.
I love the verse, and I just looking it up here, the one that says, consider the lilies, for they don't toil nor spin, but
yeah. How
much more? And in the message, it just says, if God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of which are never even seen, don't you think he'll attend to you, take pride in you, do his best for you? What I'm trying to do here is get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting, so you can respond to God's giving. Mm. People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things, but you know both God and how he works. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met.
Oh. What's the reference to that again?
It's in Matthew 6, 28 to 34. And this was the message version, but like just if God's going to take care of the flowers and the birds of the air, how much more is he going to take care of us?
And we talk about this all the time here.
Mm-hmm.
What the passage says
and
what Marissa, you're saying is that this solo season, this emptying of our jug, is precisely what God can work with.
Totally.
Because what he puts inside is so much better than what we dilute him with.
right? So true.
But it's hard. I mean, don't get us saying that this is just flip a switch and, you know, you're going to feel better. And we're also not saying that, you know, you should just walk through life positive thinking.
No.
No, it's saying that the God of the universe says that he's with you.
Yeah.
He says he's with us in struggle. He's close to the brokenhearted.
Yes.
And all the things that you just mentioned from that passage are so true.
And daily reminders. We have to daily remind ourselves.
If God takes care of the wildflowers, that may never be seen. I've never thought about that.
I know, right?
But he designs them like perfectly, puts them out there. They're beautiful in all their glory, and nobody has ever seen them.
Yes.
Of course he's going to be taking care of you.
Yeah. That line got me too. How beautiful is that?
This is so good. And if I could add one last thing is we have to stop comparing.
Absolutely.
In order to find that we have enough, even when it feels like we don't have enough, we have to turn off the peripheral vision and start looking at everybody else based on what they have.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what social economic status you're at. Like there is always someone that's got it better unless you're Jeff Bezos. And I don't think he's listening to this podcast. It's safe to assume that if you're listening, there is someone that has it better. There's also someone that has it worse. We have to stop comparing our lives to other people. We have to stop comparing our lives to what we used to have.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to look for God in the midst of this brokenness to see him do miraculous works to fill that jug, to, you know, create a beautiful thing out of brokenness.
Yes.
And I think if you're looking for something to replace that with, you know, the reality is we don't actually need all that we have. And there's probably very few people. If you are one of them, I apologize. But if everything you own is something you absolutely need, that would shock me.
Yeah.
And so what if we looked at our circumstances to be amazed rather than to be offended? Mm-hmm. If we looked around the room and said, this is amazing. I have a one-bedroom apartment with a roof. Yeah. And it has air conditioning. Yeah. Or I have enough clothes that I don't wear the same thing 3 weeks in a row.
Right.
Or like, I have a mattress. Or I have shoes.
Yes.
Or I have, yeah.
Because seriously, that's amazing.
Yeah.
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 This has been a great conversation. Before we wrap up, what are some things that have jumped out to you today as we focus on how to have enough and when we don't have enough? Kim?
I just think, well, that verse just really got me. And there's this song I've been listening to the last couple of days. I'm in a different season of life. I have a great husband. I have a nice house. I have more than I've ever had, probably ever. And yet there's this song I've been listening to lately. It's called Gyra. It's brand new by Maverick City Music. And it's talking about God, our provider, and that he is enough. And it's been for 2 days, it's all I can play. And just reminding my own heart of like, you are enough in all of it.
Yeah.
Like, I just want more of you. Because I think that's my heart is longing for him more. The rest is just, it's all great. And I am grateful. I just want more Jesus.
Yeah.
I just want him to flow through my life more. Because he is everything. And that was so real. So not all the days, I will say, but in so many days of my solo season, just I'm enough because you're, I'm already loved. I'm already enough in his eyes because he is enough. And I don't know, it's kind of like, that's just kind of where I'm at this week.
I love, what I love about you, Kim, and is that I get an opportunity to do life with you too, because we're in the same friends group. Mm-hmm. And we talk about this, that even though we are blessed and we are remarried.
Yep.
So relationally, there is hope, solo parent.
Yeah.
It can happen again.
Yeah.
But more than that, what I hear you and I talk about a lot is there are things that I miss about the solo season.
I know.
And so you are an inspiration because you bring hope to not only like, okay, there is life beyond all the pain.
Yeah.
You said you have more now than you've ever had. You have a husband, you have plenty, right? Yeah. Can I borrow some money?
And none of that, and just to preface that, remarriage isn't lack in its own stuff.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's a whole other podcast. But my point is that looking back, even as we're talking about this, I remember sharing these moments of like going, girls, I don't know how we're going to make X, Y, and Z happen, but God sees this.
Totally.
And time after time, they said, look, Dad, God showed up.
God showed up. What a great
thing. That doesn't happen as much now that I'm married because I have more of the provision that I didn't have then.
Yeah.
But I'm just telling you, single parent, like pay attention to that empty jar that Marissa was talking to because it is being filled with fine wine. And don't lose the importance of this season of making him your enough instead of the stuff that we have.
It Marissa, matters.
What about you? What are some primary takeaways?
Yeah, so I think one of them for me is the not enough is the only realization that actually makes you enough. Like when you finally come to it and realize, I ain't got
this. That's right.
But God does, and you're willing to put him on that throne where he is supposed to be, you suddenly find an abundance that is the kind of stuff that matters. Mm. I think we get so focused on being a stuff. Do my kids have the stuff? And do they have the, like, am I okay? Do I have enough to give them the stuff? And when we step back and say, this stuff on their deathbed, are they going to say, oh, my mom gave me all the stuff?
Right.
No, they're going to say, you know, my mom's knees had calluses because she never had enough and she was never enough.
Mm.
And she never even pretended to be enough and she was okay with it.
And because of that, I saw the face of God show up.
Yep. Exactly. Well, and that's what I'm hoping. I don't know. I can't see the future, but that's my goal.
I can tell you, I've seen your kids and I know you well enough to know. I'm reminded of I wrote about this in the book, where the name Jehovah Jireh comes from.
Yes.
God, my provider. Mm-hmm. It was when Abraham and Isaac were walking up the hill. Mm-hmm. Abraham found no way out. It was hopeless. He had to kill his son. Mm-hmm. He faithfully walked up that hill knowing that, you know, he was at the end of everything.
Yeah.
He put him up. He put his son up there on the altar. Mm-hmm. And only when he raised his hand did he hear the voice. Wait. And he looked and there was a ram. Mm-hmm. Talk about it in the book. My pastors talked about it. That at the same time as Isaac was walking up that mountain, there was a ram mm-hmm. walking up that mountain. In the same way, God provides for us, not just financially. He mm-hmm. provides a way out. He provides safe passage. He provides peace. Yes. So whatever it is that you're facing that you feel like you don't have enough, know that mm-hmm. that ram is on its way. Or as mm-hmm. my pastor says, that ram has been dispatched.
Yeah.
We don't know what that looks like.
That's right.
But there will be a ram
yes.
in the bushes. This has been such a great conversation. Thank you, Marissa, for joining us. It's always yes. wonderful to have you here. Mm-hmm. Listen, these podcasts are great, but they're really just a jumping off point for solo parents. If you haven't already downloaded our app, I suggest you do that for an access to our library of podcasts, chat rooms with other single parents around the world, access to our Zoom groups, which happens 7 days a week. We dive into these topics deeper mm-hmm. with other single parents around the world. So download our app and come join us as we walk this life together. You don't have to walk the solo parent path alone.
So true. And thank you just for being here and for listening and just being a part of our conversation. If you haven't already, do subscribe to the new Access More podcast or wherever you get podcasts, because apparently there's many places so that you never miss an episode. And we would just love to connect with you and hear your questions and include you on a future episode. And it's just, you're enough. I'm so emotional right now. Like, you're enough.
Yeah.
You are already loved. You are already known. You are enough. And because God is enough and He is holding you in His big, wonderful, safe arms. So today, just whisper His name. Just Jehovah Jireh, I need you. Just whisper His name, Jesus. Sometimes it's all we can get out. And just, you're enough because He is enough for you. And with that, just thank you for being here. And do check us out on social media.
And let us know how God has shown up.
Yes, absolutely. Talk.
We want to feature your thoughts on mm-hmm. future episodes because this is really an open dialogue. I agree mm-hmm. with you, Kim. Thank you for sharing that. I want to leave our time with a perfect verse that we end every episode with. Mm-hmm. It's our guiding verse, which talks about how God is enough. It's Isaiah 41:10. It says, "So don't fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and I'll help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Mm. And that's enough, right?
Exactly.
Thanks for being with us. We'll see you again next week.